I join the announcements already made to express my personal appreciation for your presence tonight. We have a number of visitors with us, and we're glad to see you, and I'm glad to be with you. Good to see Mike Pitford with us again. Good to see him again, that is. Mike and I have been friends for a good number of years. And sitting here, my close friend, David Eldridge, and his good family is with us tonight from the Samaria Church, and glad he's here. He and I just spent 20 days together in Chile doing two gospel meetings and a preacher training program. And David and I are going to be together July the 19th for a preacher training program where he preaches on a regular basis. By the way, if there are those of you that like to attend preacher training programs, there are a couple we're doing. I'm doing one in with David, then one in Mississippi, Tupelo, July the 5th. So some of those announcements on the board, and if you'd like to attend those, we'd be happy to have you do that. A lot of work, you learn a lot, and it's a good time to spend some time together studying the sacred book. In the fifth book of Moses, in chapter 7 and verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 20, talks about sometimes there were disobedient people who waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved but wanted. Then come with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." As was announced last night, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. Why is it that so few people find that straight and narrow way? You ever thought about that? Or why is it so many people make so many religious mistakes anyhow? Let's think about that together. The first thing I want you to think about is that people do not find this straight and narrow way because they don't know the scriptures. Very basic reason. When the Sadducees asked Jesus about marriage and the resurrection, in Matthew 22 and verse 29, he said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." There is no way that any of us can make good religious choices if we do not know what the scriptures teach. No way. That's the reason Jesus said in Matthew and other places as well, like John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." The story is told of a slave man who was chastised for reading his Bible. He said, "Master, I've got a search warrant to read this book." And he quoted that passage, John 5 and verse 39, where Jesus said, "Search the scriptures." The reason we need to do that, because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And these scriptures are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Jesus uttered, "Ye shall know the truth." You know the rest of that? "And the truth shall make you free." But suppose you don't know it. And a lot of people do not. No wonder the Bible teaches us that whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3, verse 3. This thinking is also found in the Revelation book, chapter 1, verse 3. You know, John was told to write to the seven churches in Asia and write these things in a book. And then he said, blessed is he that readeth. Perhaps that book was sent to different churches around and somebody would read this. And then he said, blessed is he that readeth, or the reader. And then he said, he that had ears to hear. That's all of us, isn't it? Let him hear. Hosea reported in his book in 4:6, talking about the Lord's people. He said, my people are destroyed. You know what for? Not because of where they lived, or what they drove, or where they worked, but for lack of knowledge. They didn't know. People who are told that they can't understand this book, and so they don't feel the need to read it. Why is it so few people find that straight and narrow way? Not knowing what the Bible says. But there's a second reason. A lot of people put their faith in the wrong place. When you put your faith in men, you'll never find the straight and narrow way. And the majority of religious people put their faith in what the preacher says and never check to see, is that right? Is that what the book teaches? If the preacher happens to tell them, you're saved by faith, faith only, they believe that without ever checking to see what the scriptures say. That's when Paul wrote the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, that my preaching speech and was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul, let me ask you a question. Why did you do that? Why did you preach that way? It says this in 1 Corinthians 2:5, the reason, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, it says in essence that the world by wisdom, that is the world by its wisdom, does not know God. And so people never come to that straight and narrow way. They never become among the few because they got their faith in men and not in what the Bible teaches. But there's a third reason that people never come to that straight and narrow way, and you might not understand this at the beginning. They cut off the end of the ham. Let me explain to you. A young lady, every time she cooked a ham, always cut the end off. And somebody noticing her doing that asked her, well, why'd you cut the end of the ham off? She said, I don't know. My mother always did. I'll ask her. And she asked her mom, said, Mom, how come you always cut the end of the ham off? She said, I don't know. My mother always did. I find out. And it just kept going back to great-great-grandma. And they asked her, said, how come you cut the end of your ham off before you cook it? She said, it would not fit in my pan. You get the point? Sometimes we do things that's just been handed down by tradition, and we don't know why we're doing it. And so, if you're in that category, you'll probably never find the straight and narrow way that I read about. Saul of Tarsus, he became the Apostle Paul. Followed religious error, because according to the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he persecuted the church of our Lord. Wasted it, dragged men and women to prison, held the clothes of those who stoned Stephen. He said, I even profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation. I've been zealous, he said, about it. Paul, I want to know why you did that. He said, I followed the traditions of my fathers. He just cut the end of the ham off, didn't he? Didn't know why. Lots of people never find the narrow way because of that. But again, there are individuals tonight who have not and will not find the narrow way. It's restricted. It's because they go by their feelings rather than the facts. Feel good religion. It's out there. keeps a lot of people from knowing the truth. You see, being told if it makes you feel good, it has to be good. Don't be deceived by that thinking. A lot of people are told, I know I'm saved because I feel it. I feel it right here in my heart. And as we noticed Sunday morning, the Bible study, we learned where the heart was, right? It's up here, not here. This is a heart. It's a blood pump. It's important. We need to keep it ticking. But here's the real heart the Bible talks about when it says about the Lord knows our hearts. Think with the heart, believe with the heart, obey with the heart, and that. Remember the story of Isaac? Had he gone by what he heard and not by what he felt when he felt his brother's arms, he would not have been deceived in bestowing the blessing that he did. You can read all that in the book of Genesis in chapter 27. You'll not find the narrow way when you go by your feelings, and not by Bible facts. But as you think about, why is it that many people never come to this straight and narrow way, the way of the few? They believe a lie. If you believe a lie, and a lot of people do, you never, never will come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, the apostle discussed that as he wrote the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, remember that little story? Chapter 2, it began with about verse 10. How that he talked about individuals were deceived. They would be seeing delusion and believe a lie. And as a result of believing the lie, he said they'd be damned. A lot of people believe lies today, religious lies. I don't know of any better story that illustrates this than 1 Kings chapter 13. Maybe you're familiar with it. You remember God set up the place to worship in the city of Jerusalem. King came along and said, it's too far to go to Jerusalem. And he took counsel and made two calves of gold in 1 Kings 12 and 28 and set these up in Bethel and Dan. This thing became a sin. The people went to worship before the one even under Dan. And as you read in chapter 13 of 1 Kings, whose name I do not know, he's called a man of God, came out of Judah to cry out against this false worship. You may remember if you read this about the king reached forth to take hold of him, his hand was shortened and he put it back and all that. Anyway, the Lord gave him some instructions. He said, when you go to this place, don't eat any bread, don't drink any water, and go home a different way. And he knew that. He repeated that two or three times. And so he does that. Does a good job, I guess. But there were some boys who were attending this episode, and they go home and they tell their father about it. He's called an old prophet in Bethel. And he said, where'd he go? And they told him, and he saddled his beast and went after him. And he found him sitting under an oak. And he said, are you the man that came from Judah? He said, I am. And he said, come home with me and eat bread. He said, I can't do that. I can't eat bread, drink water in this place. See, he knew the truth, didn't he? He repeated it. He knew it well. But listen to this. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back, that he may eat bread and drink water. And you know what the next five words are? Listen to them. But he lied to him. So he went back, did eat bread in his house, and drank water. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and he cried to the man of God, it came from Judah saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and eaten bread and drank water in this place. So the Lord said, don't eat any bread, drink water. Your carcass is not going to get home. Your carcass will not come to the sepulchre of your fathers. And so he takes off. Meets a lion in the street. And he's devoured. And some men saw that, and they go back to the city and tell what happened. And when that prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it's the man of God. What a sad story. Who was disobedient of the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him into the lion which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. He talked to his boys and he said, saddle me the ass. They did. And he goes and he finds him. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. The old prophet said, when I'm dead, bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried, and lay my bones by his bones. This thing became sin of the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. I think one of the saddest stories in the entire Bible. I can hardly read it without weeping. To think here's a man of God who knew the truth and could tell others about it. But he listened to a lie. And didn't get home alive. I challenge you tonight. Don't listen to spiritual lies. There are a lot of them out there. Did Paul talk about that in 1 Timothy 4? Speaking lies and hypocrisy? Somebody tells you, all you have to do to be saved is just hold up your hand. Or just believe. That's all you got to do, just believe. Tons of people believe that. You know what you've listened to? A lie. Don't do it. Or somebody comes along and says, don't worry about the church. Just follow the Lord. Just accept Jesus and forget about the church. It's not really important. Yet I read where Jesus is the Savior of the church, the body, Ephesians 5:23. You know what they're doing to you? They're lying to you. Don't be deceived. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody comes along and says, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You know, by the way, what can water do for you anyway? Or you may be out in the desert somewhere and you can't get to water and all that kind of foolishness. That you can say without being baptized. You know what they're doing? You got it by now, haven't you? They're lying to you. Don't be deceived by lies. That's one reason a lot of people never come to the straight and narrow way. They listen to a lot of lies. But again, sometimes, some people never come to this truth of that narrow way of the few because they've got a heart problem. Remember the parable of the sower? How the sower went out to sow a seed, Luke 8:11. Seed fell in those four different places, wayside, rock, and thorns, and good ground. The seed's the word of God, Luke 8:11. And only the honest and good heart brought forth fruit, Luke 8, verse 50. If you don't have an honest heart, you never will come to a knowledge of the straight and narrow way. Just think about that. You got to have it. Don't make that religious mistake that a lot of people make. But again, some people never come to the knowledge of the straight and narrow and the way of the few because they don't know how to rightly divide this book. They just pick it up and wherever it falls open, they try to do it. I remember reading in 2 Timothy 2:15 where Paul said, study or give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You know the rest of that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to learn how to rightly divide this book. Suppose I let this book just fall open to Joshua chapter 6. Okay, let's see. What am I going to do now? All right. And so you see me walking around this city. I'm going to go around this city 13 times. And you say, Johnny, what in the world are you doing? I say, we're going to take this city when we get through walking around it 13 times. What do you think about me? Don't say. You see, people think that way today without rightly dividing this truth. That's not for us. This city won't fall. You see how that works? You've got to recognize how to divide this book. The Bible is divided basically three parts. The patriarchal period that lasted for 2,500 years. The age of Moses, 1,500 years. And the new dispensation started in Acts chapter 2 and has been going on ever since. We live tonight on the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2, not the law of Moses. Sometimes people will not come to the knowledge of how to get this straight and narrow way. It's because they do not know how the Bible teaches a thing. How does the Bible teach anything you want it to teach? First, sometimes there's a direct statement or command. When he said, repent, be baptized, Acts 2:30, that's a direct command. Sometimes it teaches by an apostolic example that's God approved, like eating the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Or the fact there are to be elders in every church. That's not a command now. That's an example, Acts 14:23. And sometimes there's a forced conclusion. There's no other way around it. Like Matthew 3:16, when it says Jesus came up out of the water when he was baptized. It does not say he went down into the water, but I can conclude that he, in order to come up out of the water, he had to go down into the water. So there's a forced conclusion. And then there's one more. Most people leave this one off. I think it's a mistake to do it. Sometimes the Bible teaches a thing by just a statement of fact. It's not a command. It's not an example. It's not a conclusion. It's just a statement of fact. Like Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you don't know that, you probably never will come to know about the straight and narrow. But as you think about our subject tonight, some people never come to this straight and narrow way because they don't ask any questions. You remember the conversion of the eunuch in Acts 8? He's reading the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, about somebody being led to the slaughter, and he didn't understand a thing about it. You know what he did? Ask a question. A lot of people are afraid to ask questions. They think somebody might think that's silly. I've heard it said, maybe you have too, that the only silly question there is the one you don't ask when you want to know. Ask. In regards to the church, ask. Who started this church I'm a member of? And when did it start? What do I read about this church in the Bible? Is what we're doing the worship? Can I read that in the New Testament? Show me who I can read about the name of the church that I'm a member of. Ask those questions. That is, if you're interested in coming to that straight and narrow way. Then sometimes folks don't come to a knowledge of the truth because they get to thinking that God is too good to allow anybody to be lost. I remember Paul writing the Romans about that in Romans 11:22 when he said, behold the goodness and the severity of God. You ever read 1 Corinthians 10, the first 12 verses? How all those people were destroyed? Think God's too good to do that? You ever notice about the end of time in the book of Revelation 20, 12 to 15? When John was able to look beyond the veil and say, I saw the small and the great stand before God. And the book was open, another book was open, which is the book of life, and men were judged. And if any was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, guess what? He was cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. You think God's too good to allow that? Perish the thought. You found that straight and narrow way yet? There will be a judgment, by the way. And all men will stand before Christ to be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We'll stand as individuals. Romans 14:12. Christ will be the judge. John 5:22. The gospel will be the standard. Romans 2:16. The words of Christ will be there. That'll judge us. John 12:48. So it's pretty important. In light of that, that I make no mistakes religiously, that I come to a knowledge of the truth that's narrow and straight way that leads unto life. Few find it, but you can. Be like the Corinthians in Acts 18:8. Hearing, believed, and were baptized. Thanks for listening so well. But should you be in this audience, and you've not come yet to a knowledge of the truth about the straight and the narrow, you've heard it. Do you believe it? Better still, have you obeyed it? You can, even tonight, right, Paul? You can repent of your sins and change your mind. Paul's here to help you make the good confession. Baptism is ready, water's warm, clothing available. You can be baptized tonight in the Lord's church for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:40, 38. Added to the church, Acts 2:47. Walk in that straight and narrow way. Stay out of the broad way. You know where it leads? Destruction. And you don't want that. Maybe you started that narrow way, but you've gotten careless and you've fallen away and you want to come back to start all over, to be restored, as Galatians 6:2 talks about. You can do that by hearing. You've done that. Changing your life. Confessing it in prayer unto God. Would you come while we sing?
You've been listening to Sermons from Westwood, a presentation of sermons presented at the Westwood Church of Christ in Tullahoma, Tennessee. If you have a question or comment about this sermon or any other Bible question, you can send an email to comment@westwoodcoc.com. That's comment@westwoodcoc.com. For more sermons like this one, you can find us on iTunes by searching for Sermons from Westwood or visit our website at westwoodcoc.com. Thanks for listening.